Welcome to the Modern Yogi Podcast. An exploration of ancient wisdom.
Hello, hello, everyone.
Welcome. We are on a big one. We're on episode number
90. Wow, 90 episodes, ladies.
Wow, we're close. We're getting close to 100 episodes. 100. And we're on chapter 11 right now.
Wow. Ooh. Exciting stuff.
My name is Shama Sangeeta.
My name is Priyadarshini.
And I'm Shamali.
And thank you for sticking with us for 90 episodes. Wow. 90.
Amazing. Wow.
Big deal. All right. We're on chapter 11, text number 15. But quick recap. This is a fun chapter.
This really is.
So good.
I'm like the edge of my seat. Like, I know. This is a really exciting chapter.
Yeah. I think the last couple of ones have got me really excited for the next ones because we got to hear and understand a little bit more about Sanjaya and who he is and what he's doing. And then how amazing he is, how poetic he is in describing what Krishna and Arjuna are experiencing. Yeah. Mostly what Arjuna is experiencing, but explaining the universal form in such detail that even we got goosebumps.
Yeah. And he's a great storyteller. Yeah. He talks about, there's one of the verses from last episode is like, if the hundreds of thousands of suns were to rise at once in the sky, their radiance might, just might resemble the effulgence of the Supreme Lord. Mm. Like he's describing the indescribable and it's so powerful.
Yeah. Mm. And being able to actually talk it out with you ladies is powerful because if you're on your own, you might read through, okay, and then Krishna reveals his universal form. And then you move on to the next text. But we're able to really pause and be like, wait, what does that mean?
What does it look like?
Yeah. And what would it be like if we were there? What would it be like if you were there? And then we all just kind of go further and further.
Yeah. Fetal position, shaking.
right. And it's only because Arjuna's given the transcendental vision, he's able to even see it because our human form isn't capable to handle seeing God.
That's true.
So I'm really excited because so far we've heard Krishna and Arjuna speak and then Sanjaya came up and it was really nice break from the conversation to remind us like the fact that this is being told to Evil D, the king, by his secretary. The whole story is being narrated. And so now I'm really excited because in the next text that we're about to read, we go back to Arjuna and we get to hear firsthand from Arjuna what his experience of Krishna's universal form is.
Interesting.
I like it.
Okay. Yeah.
All right, ladies, the implication. Please.
Om Jnana Timirandasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Shakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha.
Translation: I was born in the darkest ignorance, and my spiritual master opened my eyes with the torch of knowledge. I offer my respectful obeisances unto them. Chapter 11, text number 15, Priyadarshini.
Arjuna said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents."
Wow.
Arjuna said, "My dear Lord Krishna, I see assembled in your body all the demigods and various other living entities. I see Brahma sitting on the lotus flower, as well as Lord Shiva and all the sages and divine serpents."
So remember we were talking about the trinity of, you know, Sanatana Dharma, like Hinduism and all this, and, you know, everyone's like the Brahma, Vishnu, Mahesh, like the creator, the maintainer, the destroyer. Krishna is literally all three. Arjuna saw it with his eyes. Yeah. So he's literally all three because a lot of people think that they're three separate entities, but it's no. Krishna is both of those.
Yes.
Yeah. And Prabhupada's basically saying that Arjuna is able to see everything in the universe. So of course he's able to see Brahma, who's the first creator in the universe, and the celestial serpent, which we've talked about, upon which the Garbhodakshai Vishnu lies in the lower region of the universe. And who again is, because there's Siradakshai Vishnu. Who's Garbhodakshai Vishnu? That's basically the one that resides in this lower region of the universe. the one that is in this part of the material creation, as opposed to, Abhijit.
Yeah.
Shamla, you started something we couldn't finish.
Yeah, no, no, but as Priya is Googling it, the snake bed is called Vasuki, which would be a great name for a vegan sushi restaurant.
Oh, tell us about this vegan sushi restaurant,
Shamla. Okay, no, guys, honestly, Vasuki, the vegan restaurant, vegan sushi restaurant. Sorry, Vasuki.
Oh, gosh. When I'm not paying attention, this is what you guys are talking about?
We're trying to kill time while you Google something, okay?
It's funny because we've heard this time and time again, but I always get confused between Garbhodakshi. I know one of the Vishnus is like there's a Vishnu in each universe, and then another Vishnu is kind of like beyond all of that.
So the snake bed is called Vasuki.
Okay, I'll start
at
reading.
My vegan sushi restaurant.
Okay, now
there should be a role called Vasuki.
Vasuki.
Okay, you guys got this. Okay. So there is three forms of Vishnu.
Right.
Karanodakshai Vishnu, which is
I said that right. No,
that starts with a K.
That's
Siradakshai. Right?
That's not, I haven't reached that one yet. Okay,
slow
guys. Sorry, I just thought that's what you were talking about.
There's three. I'm about to bring you all three. Okay.
Continue.
All right. So Karanodakshai Vishnu, which is Mahavishnu. Okay.
Okay.
That's his nickname. Let's just go. Mahavishnu.
Got
Mahavishnu.
It.
Okay? Like that's the Vishnu. When we say Vishnu, we're probably thinking of the great Vishnu.
Let me tell you about Vishnu. It.
Okay, do tell.
He lies in the casual ocean. And from his breath, innumerable universes emanate.
Sorry, is it casual or causal?
Ooh.
I think it's causal, not casual.
Right. You're
no,
right.
He's like, he's just doing it casually, okay?
I was like, that's such a weird word.
He's literally wearing flannel, and he's like so casually just creating universes.
He just came back from Vasuki.
Yes. He's wearing Levi's and flannel, and he's casually...
And, you know, when you asked me that question, I was like, what's the difference? In my brain, I didn't even understand the difference.
Before you said it, I thought, I can't speak anymore while she's reading. But then you said that, and I thought, oh God, I have to say something.
That's hilarious. No, causal. So that means like cause.
Cause of all causes.
Perfect. Yep. Okay. So he lies in the causal ocean, and from his breath, innumerable universes emanate. Okay, so that's Mahavishnu.
Right.
Okay, let me keep going.
All the universes. Okay. I'm doing reflective listening.
No,
yeah.
That's good.
Just give it a second. Okay. The next one is Garbhodakshai Vishnu.
Yep.
And then he enters each universe, creating a cosmic ocean from which Brahma is born on a lotus.
Repeat that line one more time.
Yes. He enters each universe, creating a cosmic ocean from which Brahma is born on a lotus.
Okay,
so basically,
he
creates the environment from which Brahma is born.
Right.
And Brahma is born on a lotus.
Yep. Right. So
that's confirmed in the purport.
One more.
Before we put it all together, Okay. And so the last one is Kshirodakshaya Vishnu, which is Vishnu who resides in the ocean of milk. Within each universe and is the super soul Paramatma in every living being.
The one and all inside all of us.
Yes.
Ah.
So this Kshirodakshaya Vishnu is the one that sits on. Yes. He's the one that sits on Vasuki.
Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
I think they all sit on
Vasuki. Welcome to LA's newest vegan sushi joint.
When she's confused, she'll resort to that.
Okay, so all of them sit on the snake bed, which
I'm
going to
confirm
Vasuki.
That.
Wait,
but
I'm
I
sorry.
So.
The last one, Siradakshai Vishnu, the main thing is he's the one in our hearts. But when you said, I got me confused with what's the difference with the third one, and the second one, if both the second and the third enter the universes.
Okay, I'll read them all one more time.
Okay.
The first one, Mahavishnu, lies in the causal ocean.
Not the casual ocean.
Okay. And from his breath, innumerable universes emanate.
Got it. Okay, so from the breath, the universes come.
Universes are created.
Right,
okay.
Got it.
Garbhodakshaya Vishnu creates the ocean in which Brahma is born, and Kshirodakshaya Vishnu resides in the ocean of milk, which is a different place.
Yep.
Within each universe.
Mm.
So the first one breathes the universes.
Mm-hmm.
The second one creates an ocean for Brahma to be born in.
Within each universe. Right.
Yes. Each of those universes that were created, right?
Right.
So they're like steps. The first one create all the universes.
Yes,
the next one come in, create
enters
the ocean where Brahma is born. And then from the third one is that Vishnu who resides in the ocean of milk of each of those universes and is the super soul.
Okay.
And then to further go on, I did ask about Vasuki, and it says, Vishnu, who is seated on Vasuki, the main serpent, is not typically one of the main three forms that we just stated. So,
okay. So, did you hear about Vasuki, the sushi restaurant?
LA's newest vegan sushi restaurant. Come join us at Vasuki. Wait, so just to go back to the verse for a second, right? Mm-hmm. Arjuna is saying that I see Brahma sitting on a lotus flower. So, according to what you just read, that is the second one.
Yes, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu.
Yeah, Garbhodakshaya Vishnu, right? Because that's where Prabhupada says, Arjuna can see from the Garbhodakshaya Vishnu up to the topmost part of the universe on the lotus flower planet where Brahma, the first creature of the universe, resides.
Mm-hmm. Right. Yeah, I always forget the specific definitions, but I remembered it was like a going from bigger to smaller. Like one creates all the universes, one enters all the universes. Like, yeah, but I still sometimes forget the details.
Can I pull it back even further? Because whenever you guys started talking about, oh yeah, it makes sense, they saw Brahma there, I was like, wait a second, guys. We were just like pretending to be Arjuna for a second. And we were thinking about like looking at stars and nature and all this stuff. And now we're seeing people in here that are not Krishna. Like, this is monumental. Like, first.
No, but he did mention that like Arjuna could see different demigods, right?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So like in addition to everything else, the universes, all these different faces and whatnot, and then the variety of demigods. So now he's pointing in specific which demigods he's seeing.
Thank you, thank you. Thank you for that reminder. Yep. Okay, cool, cool. Amazing. Mm. So Prabhupada also says here that Arjuna... that Arjuna could see from the beginning to the end, everything. Mm-hmm. And that he was just sitting in his chariot, he could see everything from beginning to end.
Yeah.
Which is crazy. Like, again, unfathomable.
Yeah. I mean, it's true. If Brahma is the creator and Vishnu is the maintainer and Shiva is the destroyer and all three of them are actually Krishna, like, and Arjuna is able to see that, that's so powerful.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Like, obviously spiritual vision doesn't work in the same, like dimensions that we see space and time, because you can't even wrap your mind around that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wow.
I can only imagine what's going on in like the VR headset that Arjuna is wearing right now, like the divine VR
headset. I can kind of visualize it, but even then it kind of blows my mind because it's so much information and so much to see and understand.
Some techie tech person should create that. Like, they already have the interactive diorama form of the Bhagavad Gita Museum next to the temple in Culver City. Shout out to that museum. Super cool. You walk through and you see all these like, what are they called? Animatronics that can move and describe the different things. It's very moving, but imagine if they created a VR headset.
That would be so cool.
Yeah. I mean, if any of our listeners are listening to this and they want to take a stab at it and they are in STEM and they have the technology for it, which according to the demographics of our listeners, a lot of you are in STEM.
Yep.
And if you need to be connected to somebody who can describe this in detail so that you can create it, let us know. We'll connect you to someone.
Yeah.
There's so many artists in our community. There's so many like Prabhupada disciples, people who created the original paintings that are in the Bhagavad Gita.
Yeah.
We can 100% connect you to someone. So if you're interested in this project, that sounds amazing.
Are we starting this, ladies?
Why don't like a contest? Like, can we do a contest for our listeners?
Probably blasphemous. Never mind.
No, it's not that. I'm just saying, realistically speaking, someone to create something like this would take a long time.
Yeah. That's okay. We're not going to give them anything. It's just like, we're just going to like showcase it, you know?
Oh, okay. Oh, we'll yeah.
We'll promote it for you guys.
If you want to take a stab at like AI generated or you want to draw it, you want to paint it, Krishna's universal form.
Oh my God, yes. Yeah.
Send us an image.
Oh my gosh. Send us like everything. If your two-year-old wants to draw the universal form, please send us that
too. We're probably not going to showcase that one.
I will showcase that one. You send it to me. Okay.
I'm joking.
Anyways.
Yeah, but yeah, if you want to take a stab at it, please do send it in and then we'll put up the best ones.
We'll
put up the best ones, even the two.
I thought you were telling people to go out there and create VR experiences.
No, she was.
And
that's
like,
what I was doing.
No,
right?
No, I think she's saying drawings at this point.
Are you talking about drawings, bro?
Yeah. She made it sound like
I thought you talked about people in STEM.
I started at that level, but then I brought it down to a contest where everyone can participate.
Okay, so there's the contest, but can we also say anyone who's in STEM, or if you're a listener and know of anyone who could possibly do this, let us know, because I would like a VR headset to
see the universal form as well.
So
take your attempt, whether you want to do it digitally or not digitally. This is a contest for all of our listeners.
We just want to see what you see, because what we see is amazing and crazy, and we'd love to see what you see.
Yeah. Imagination.
Okay. How about Shamus and Yuta, Tech 16?
Okay. All
right. And let's not forget, there's a vegan place called
Vasuki. Literally just going to say that, Shamus. I was going to be like, there is make no sure place. To come to Vasuki.
I love it.
Okay. All right. Chapter 11, text number 16.
Disclaimer, that's not a real restaurant.
Not yet. Me and Shelby will start that restaurant.
I love looking at Priya's face when we get a little more chaotic in our what we say. Priya's like, oh my God.
Priya's face is like, shut it down.
No, I enjoy it thoroughly, but I really enjoy listening to Krishna and Arjuna. So, okay.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, we get back to that.
Okay, Shama Sangeeta, text 16.
All right. Who's speaking?
I don't
Arjuna,
know.
Arjuna is speaking. Okay.
Yes.
Arjuna says, O Lord of the universe, O universal form, I see in your body many, many arms, bellies, mouths, eyes expanded everywhere without limit. I see in you no end, no middle, and no beginning.
That sounds like such a, like I could almost picture a romantic film. My love, I see in you no end, no middle.
Oh my
no
God.
Is this an Italian short film?
I thought you were
I'm
gonna,
a mummy.
I thought she was going to say like the first part was the romantic thing. I'm like, I'm sorry. You see many, many arms, bellies and mouths and eyes. How is that romantic?
No, can you do the Italian short film again?
Yeah. It says, my love, I see in you no end, no middle and no beginning.
It's me, Mario.
And I'm Julieta.
That's really great. This is really beautiful. Arjuna's really showcasing everything that he's seeing. And there's a lot of arms, bellies, mouths, and eyes.
That's it. I mean.
Wow. I think there's also a lot of people that those arms and bellies and arms belong to.
Yeah, like there's a lot of Krishnas. Limbs. Well, there's a lot of Krishnas, but then there's a lot of demigods. And
there's
like
a lot of everything.
It's not just random limbs that are floating.
No.
They're attached to something.
We need the but VR thing. We can't picture
exactly.
it.
Exactly.
But if that's what you picture, we can't wait to see what you draw and send to
us. Yes. Send us an image.
Send us
slide
an
into our DMs. We would love that.
Okay. At Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
At Modern Yogi Podcast.
Wonderful.
We've been trained well.
It's like Pavlov's dog now.
Fire drills at school. Trap everything.
Yeah. Literally when one person says it, we don't even look up anymore. We just go at Modern Yogi Podcast. At Modern Yogi Podcast. At Modern Yogi Podcast.
And we all say it perfectly in sync. Like we always nail it.
Yeah. We're the perfect.
Good job,
Pavlov.
Team.
Pavlov's dog.
All right. Tag 17, Shambhali.
Okay. Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs, and discs. Ooh. I feel like we're in the beginning of the Gita again, where like there was all the horns, the conches.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. One more time.
Your form is difficult to see because of its glaring effulgence, spreading on all sides like blazing fire or the immeasurable radiance of the sun. Yet I see this glowing form everywhere, adorned with various crowns, clubs, and discs.
So even with this VR headset that Arjuna has, this divine one, right?
Yeah.
And like, imagine staring at one sun and you're blinded and you're like, everyone thinks you're an idiot for looking at the sun. But like imagine like, because what did Sanjaya say? Like hundreds of thousands of suns, right?
Yeah.
Is that might be able to resemble your effulgence, right?
Yeah.
And so he's like addressing that. He's like, it's kind of hard to see you because it's so bright, right?
Mm. Yeah.
I really like how Arjuna says it, but I really, really liked how Sanjaya said it. I don't know. There was something about how he said it. Like my heart felt it really deep. I think Arjuna's sort of saying the thing that Sanjaya described earlier. So he's kind of putting more words and more details into that sort of feeling that Sanjaya perceived. Yeah.
Yeah. You have to remember that Arjuna is not a poet. He's a warrior. So he's speaking like a warrior.
That's
right. Whereas Sanjaya, I don't know about his personal life, but I feel like he's attending poetry slams on Saturdays and stuff. Like when he's not being a secretary.
That's
like,
the vibe I get.
That's the
vibe. Yeah.
In going
the casual,
to the Suki.
In his Levi's and flannel, just like casually reciting poetry.
Yeah. And also another layer to that is Arjuna's experiencing it firsthand. He's in the eye of the storm while Sanjaya's like in the palace, removed, describing what he's seeing.
Right. Yeah. That's fair. That's fair. Okay.
It's kind of like when you're in Vrindavan, in the temple, being shoved by all the elbows and all the people looking at the deities versus I'm in my living room looking at through Mayapur live TV.
Yeah.
I'm watching Vrindavan.
That's a great.
Oh, what a good analogy.
I just made that up. So good.
That is very good.
I can feel it. I can feel the elbows. Yeah. I can feel the peace from being at home, but being so happy.
Right. Yeah. But like, but in person, Arjun is not feeling any elbows. Like
but he's experiencing
the emotions. Yeah. A lot of emotional elbows.
Right. So I could picture emotional. So if I'm in the temple in Vrindavan, oh my God, my Lord. Ah. Versus at home, like, wow, the radiance of hundreds of suns. I see you.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah. Yeah. It's a different experience. For sure. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a level of detachment there.
What is also interesting is that this use of like weaponry, actually, right? Mm. So like Arjuna is seeing this like glowing effulgence, immeasurable radiant sun, blazing fire, all that, yada, yada, which is so amazing. But then he's also talking about the forms, like all the various forms also have this weaponry, like clubs and discs attached to
Can
it.
Can I say something about that?
Sure.
Okay, so I feel like also because he's a warrior, he notices that. Mm. And what I mean is like, I feel like I've said this before, but I used to make vases for the deities, like the flower vases that go behind them and on the sides and all of that. And like, I was like, oh, what did you think of the vases today? To Abhijit one day. And he's like, oh, I didn't even notice them. Like, because if you don't do something, sometimes whenever you're involved in something, you're more aware of it.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. And so I think Arjuna, because he's a warrior, he's like, oh, look, they all have armor. And like, it's like me. Like,
totally.
There's some sort of, you know, relevance to himself.
He recognized it because that's in his like genre of like the things he likes.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Like if you ever look at the deities standing next to a pujari who dressed them, they'll be like, and the way the turban wraps around into the, and they have all the terms for all the designs.
And I'm just like, ooh, that look pretty, you know? And they're
exactly.
Like, but what about this? I'm like, oh, I didn't notice that.
I wonder what we would notice while looking at the universal form.
Yeah, ooh.
That's a good question.
Again,
to yourself.
It's not ourselves as we are now.
Right, totally.
It's like ourselves in a more elevated position.
But let's pretend Krishna were to just, without any reason, grace us with the vision, right? What would stand? What's your person, like the online personality tests?
Well, I got to say, like when I looked at plate 11, which is like the pictures of the, you know, I think my first, like one of the things I noticed right away was one, the effulgence and the rainbow. I really like both of those things. And then the next thing I noticed was like, I was like, oh, which face of Krishna is more handsome? And then I just went through looking at all the faces, trying to figure out which one I found to be like, because like there's like a chubbier Krishna, a mustache Krishna, there's like an older. And like there's all these different kinds of Krishna. And I was like trying to find the best looking one.
Wow.
Yeah, there's so many layers. Like even I didn't notice this before, but even on the left-hand side within one of the swords, if you zoom in, there's a, like a face of what looks like a skeleton.
Skull. Yeah. I saw that earlier too.
And then I don't know what this is just above that on the left side of the rainbow. There's like, what is that? A form.
Did you
of
notice
a person?
The stars?
Yeah.
So that's what I noticed, right? Because you know how I love talking about planets and astrology?
Yeah.
Like the first thing I noticed, besides the rainbow, because it's very gay friendly, I noticed the comets and the universe and the planets. I was like, ooh, that is so magnificent to me personally.
Yeah, there's ocean in the bottom and mountains to the left.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, there's so much detail in this painting.
I didn't even notice.
There's a moon on the top right.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's like a half moon coming from one of the heads from the eyes.
Do you think that's a half moon or that means that he has divine vision in some capacity?
Could be that too.
Yeah.
I don't know.
There's one with fire coming out of the face and it scared me. So I looked away really fast. So like I can only imagine Arjuna being like, oh my God, this is so intense because there's really scary things, but there's also really beautiful things at the same time.
Ooh. Oh, wait, one more. And then we can go back to the verses if you guys want. By the bottom where there's a fire, there's a face of Krishna or somebody else who looks a little like a demon. It's like covered by the red. Do you see that?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So many details.
I don't know what this is, but if you look on the left of the bottom of the rainbow, right below the sword, there's like what looks like almost like a creature, but I don't know what it is. Anyway, there's so much there.
Really, an animal.
An animal.
Krishna can be animals too.
Sure, I don't know.
But yeah, that is very interesting what you mentioned is like Arjuna noticed that there's weaponry because that's his...
field of expertise.
Yeah.
Oh, they're all wearing jewelry too, like rings on their hands
and crowns.
Oh, and you see Brahma there on the lotus. You see that?
Where?
Right in front of the first Krishna. There's Brahma on the lotus.
Oh my God.
Wow. I should have moved away from the mic.
That's okay.
So
that's all right.
I'm so overwhelmed.
This
I'm
is
bewildered.
Really cool.
Super cool. I can look at this picture forever.
I never noticed Brahma on the lotus.
Me neither. I noticed the lotus, that I didn't notice Brahma.
Yeah.
Yeah. So if you don't have a book in front of you right now, whenever you do, just Google universal form of Krishna. And there's so many different images that are so beautiful and so powerful. And if you want to create your own, we're having a contest at the Modern Yogi Podcast. Create your own image of the universal form and whatever you want to.
And we'll showcase them.
Yeah. Beautiful. All right.
I'll post that on our Instagram later.
Yeah. So should we go back? Where were we?
I guess so. We're all kind of just in a trance. Where are we?
Mesmerizing.
Yeah. Text 18.
Okay.
Priyadarshini.
Oh, okay. You are the supreme primal objective. Mm. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. Mm. You are the maintainer of eternal religion, the supreme personality of Godhead. This is my opinion.
I love how he throws in, like, this is my opinion. I mean, what?
Sir, have you not been listening? Sir.
This is just what I think, my hypothesis.
I think he's saying, like, now this is also my opinion. Like, now I see it as that way as well.
Okay, maybe. Right.
Maybe. Can you read it one more time, Priya?
Yes, for sure. You are the supreme primal objective. You are the ultimate resting place of all this universe. Mm. You are inexhaustible. And you are the oldest. You are the maintainer of the eternal religion, the personality of Godhead. This is my opinion.
Mm. I love how he says maintainer of the eternal religion. Like that goes beyond just a dogmatic religious path. It's like an eternal religion or a way of life, like eternality, getting back to your eternal home. It's something so deep.
Yeah. Yes. As we've talked about before, like different religions have different belief systems and not all of them are eternal. Like they're not sort of cyclical the way ours is. We're like with the reincarnation and karma and like chances and opportunities to go back to Godhead.
Right.
Some of them are very like either you believe or you don't believe, or either you are good or you're not
good.
Absolutely. And I think that.
Wait, say that. That's a great point. Say it again.
Yeah. So I'm like, from where?
No. Basically, what you said is not all religious paths give you so many opportunities because this is cyclical. We believe in karma, reincarnation, and that gives you so many opportunities in a deep way to find your way to God, not just linear. Like if you don't believe, you're going to hell. If you believe, you're going to heaven.
Right. And one life and that's it.
Yeah. And that's a great point.
So, okay. So now that we were talking about this, I can bring this something up. I was watching this show. I don't know if you guys seen The Good Place.
Yes.
That show, like, I feel like there's so much we can
Describe it in like a couple sentences if you've never seen it before.
So The Good Place is basically a show about what happens after you die. And there's four main characters that go through the experience of like what happens after death. And they're kind of led to believe that they're in this sort of heavenly place, like the good place. But in fact, they were not. They were being tortured because they did not have enough good redeeming qualities, or I say karmic points, positive karmic points, whatever, to go to the good place. And so they go through a whole experience of how does the world work and like what qualifies one to go to the good place. And of course it's a show, so there's comical things and you know, all of that, but it really does show like the reality of human nature and how we can grow and evolve over time.
Right.
And how it takes us a long time to do that.
Yeah.
There's a process that happens as we meet people. Also, that was a key part of the show. As you meet people and you seek their help and you seek knowledge, then you grow and then you can become a better person. And that further on goes to help you in your step towards, you know, Godhead in a sense. Now, of course, their show wasn't like God-centric per se, but it does give you a good idea of the fact that as human beings, we have like, we are not perfect and we have this process of developing. So that when I look at religions that are very black and white,
right,
like whether you either do or you do not, it feels like, well, where is the room for growth? Because everyone is at that place of just do or don't, right? Like there's a lot of in between. There's a lot of doubts, questions, concerns. And so I think what I appreciate about understanding reincarnation and karma is that it does give you an opportunity to know that you are where you are and you slowly can grow. And if you don't finish growing by this experience, you have another opportunity and another opportunity and so on and so forth.
That is so great. And we did talk about this a little bit earlier. It's like, you don't just start back at zero.
Exactly.
Right? Yeah. Like Krishna is so merciful to be like, okay, wherever you left off, that's where you start again. Thank God for that.
Oh my God.
Could you imagine starting from zero every lifetime?
Oh my God. And it would paint an image of a God who's so unfair, because imagine, yeah, we know from just human interaction, like you said, Priya, how long it takes someone to overcome different things, just human things we're going through. It can take a whole lifetime. So how unfair would that be if then we're like just judged off of just however much progress you can make in one life when not all of our situations are the same?
Yeah.
What about someone who has to just spend their life even fighting for basic human necessities, like putting food on the table? They're not going to have time to dedicate their whole life form to God realization.
Oh, that's
real. And then that's so unfair. Come on.
They actually address that in The Good Place. They address like one, wiping of the minds is like an unfair situation. They need to have some sort of knowledge.
Mm.
And two, when somebody is in a position of need, they cannot even focus on doing like growth development, right?
Mm.
And so like they address all these things. I find it really interesting. Oh, of course they make it lighter and funny and all of that,
right?
But it really does ask some of the real questions, which is the disadvantages we have in this material world if we are in a position of not having our basic needs met, right? I've actually heard this from, and I've said this before in the podcast, I believe that there's this one guru, Rama Patswami, who said that you cannot practice Krishna consciousness. And I'm paraphrasing to a huge degree because I don't remember the exact words, but it's really hard to practice Krishna consciousness if you don't have your basic necessities. And that means, right, like your job, financial stability, emotional stability, like a lot of the things need to be stable in order for you to be able to make progress.
Wow.
Because there's just so much difficulty coming at us when those things are not balanced.
Yeah. Totally. And I love that this knowledge is described from a standpoint of a cyclical nature. Cause you said already, Priya, a few times the word cyclical.
Yes.
And it just reminded me, I've brought it up in different episodes, how there's, I'm forgetting his name now, one of the household names of like super famous scientists that said Vedic conception of the cosmos that goes in cyclical nature is the only one that lines up with science's conception of how the earth goes also in a cyclical nature. It's not just linear from point A to point B. So it's all real.
It's all connected.
Yeah.
I like, if we go back to the verse, the first line says, you are the supreme primal objective, right?
Mm.
And like the use of that language is very interesting. Supreme primal objective.
Mm.
And if you think about primal objective just as a human, there's like eat, sleep, mate, and defend, right?
Mm.
And then what is actually like the supreme part of that is finding your relationship with Krishna. You are the supreme
Shama Sangeeta.
I mean, I'm such a scholar.
I'm joking. That's such a great point. I glossed over
what a
the
great
word
breakdown.
Primal.
Yeah. Supreme primal objective.
Like it's a human necessity, whether you recognize it or not.
Yeah.
That's so good.
It is.
Keep going.
I love just like that use of that language, right? You are the ultimate resting place.
Tell us what that means to you.
You are the ultimate resting place. You know, when you're like, you ever done a marathon?
Yesterday.
Yeah. But I was talking to a friend of ours, David Arshan. He just ran a marathon like a couple of weeks ago. And like when he got to that finish line, it was like, that was the craziest feeling, is because you're so broken by the end of it, but you're also like, oh my God, I can stop now.
Mm.
And like, sometimes we're running through this rat race over and over again, and our legs are hurting and our mind is hurting, and we're doing this over and over again. But at the end of the day, what are we trying to do? We're trying to stop running through this circle over and over again.
Right.
And so where is that resting place? That's Krishna.
Oh my gosh.
Yo,
okay.
I'm trying, me and Sanjaya like go to poetry slams sometimes.
Tell us the next one. You are inexhaustible and you are the oldest. Meaning.
Okay, don't put it on the spot. You're gonna give us two amazing ones.
Yeah, if you put me now, I'm gonna go downhill from here. Okay.
No, but those are beautiful. I really like that you caught the word primal. I'm still thinking of that because what separates us from animals, who's also their primal instincts is to eat, sleep, mate, and defend. And if we just do those four things without elevating our consciousness,
we're no different.
Yeah. Now, like I actually had a conversation once with a friend that he was like, I don't like thinking that there's a hierarchy where we're better than other species. And I was saying, no, not better, because all souls are the same, but we've just been given a vehicle of the body that can use higher reasoning. So, and that clicked for him. He's like, oh, okay.
Yeah.
So it's not to say we are the highest species. We've been given a vehicle that has the highest capacity. I mean, that's just scientifically proven that we have the highest reasoning and ability. ability to ask these questions.
And also, if we understand the philosophy, we know that at some point in our lives, we were an animal. So it's not like we. Who is we?
Right.
Like the soul inside of me has this opportunity. That's what you can call this human body, an opportunity. Exactly. But it doesn't mean that I didn't already have an opportunity to live in a different body and learn my my limitations of that.
Right.
Sorry, that animal body. That's what I meant to say.
Yeah, so, we're all that spiritual spark. So then Shama, when you bring up, it's such a primal objective, like, oh my gosh, yes, that makes so much sense, because if we just eat, sleep, mate, and defend, we'll still be unsatisfied. That's the nature. Yeah. Everyone's unsatisfied. And then we start having to think, what's wrong with me? I need to figure out why I'm unsatisfied. No, that's just, I mean, I believe in talk therapy and all that, but regardless, you are going to be unsatisfied if you don't figure out the primal objective is also to connect to God.
Yep.
Like Raghunath in Wisdom of the Sages always says, we have a God-shaped hole that we're trying to fill with so many other things.
With so many other things that are not God.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's real. Arjuna continues and he says, you are inexhaustible. And I was like, what is the definition of inexhaustible? Mm-hmm. And it says, unable to be used up because it's existing in abundance.
Mm. Right? So you do have more definitions for each section, girl.
I mean, and then you are the oldest, which I think is self-explanatory, because if he is he is before everything and he created everything, then he, ergo. He is the oldest.
Right.
I think it's really cool. You want to go ahead?
No. I just love the verbiage in this particular verse, right? Because he's using very specific words.
Yeah. Right. I also think it's really cool that Krishna is the oldest, but he is also so youthful. Like there's a lot of depictions of God that are, or like divine, or, you know, whatever, that are like this old man with a beard and like, but like Krishna, our God, he's like forever 16 years old and like happy, energetic, playful, like all these other qualities. So it's really cool to have that juxtaposition of like him being the oldest, but also like how he presents himself is as like forever young.
Yeah. We just had a conversation a little bit ago before filming about remembering the episode where which actor would play Krishna if this were a movie, because, you know, a couple episodes ago I brought up Star Wars, and Ella, while looking through other episodes, was like, yeah, you brought up Star Wars a while ago. And I was like, did I? And she's like, yeah, to say that Hayden Christensen would play a perfect Krishna. And I was like, oh, I did say that, didn't I?
Or George Clooney.
Okay. To each his own. Priya, what was yours?
I don't think I said one.
Did you say Timothy Chalamet?
I think she did.
I did.
No?
I would never.
She would never.
She would never.
No, but let me.
She would never.
But Hayden Christensen would be a beautiful Krishna.
Or is it Christian Haydenson?
I forget at this point.
I don't know. Dyslexia.
Yeah, I don't
Whatever.
Know.
Whatever. Anyways. Sorry, your point.
Oh, no, I was saying that because Priya was saying he's the oldest, but it's funny that he's also like the most attractive and youthful. So it's a funny juxtaposition.
Oh, I did say someone. I just remembered, because you know what I did? I asked ChatGPT who ChatGPT thought would be a good Krishna played in a movie.
Okay.
And it said Hrithik Roshan.
Hrithik Roshan. Oh my God.
Who's that?
A really handsome Bollywood actor.
Can you show me the picture?
There's three. No, he didn't give me a picture, but there's three potential people. And the second one is the one I said.
Who?
Ranveer Singh.
Who's that?
Ranveer Singh is a famous Bollywood actor.
Okay.
He was in this movie called Rocky or Ronnie. It's irrelevant, but he's very handsome.
Yeah.
Like, even to me, he's handsome. Yeah. Yeah. Which means he's handsome.
Okay. Let's see.
Ergo. He's handsome.
Oh, he's handsome.
He's Krishna.
He could be Arjuna, though. I see him as an Arjuna.
Because he has a mustache.
He has a mustache.
What's the third one that ChatGPT said?
I don't know the name. It's Brabus?
Is this the Bollywood version of ChatGPT? Why is it only sending you Bollywood actors?
I don't know. Maybe it just thought because Krishna's Indian, like, let's cast someone Indian.
Oh, but ask if like a Hollywood actor.
Yeah, maybe it's culturally
but
trying to be appropriate.
I never think of Krishna as Indian. I know he's in India, but like, you know, a bluish skinned, I don't know. I don't think of him as Indian.
You don't think of Krishna as Indian, even though he's born in India?
I know it sounds funny, but you think of Krishna as Indian?
Yes.
Okay, you ready for the top three?
We literally went to his birthplace in India.
No, I know, but like, I guess just because like,
but
he's
I guess
so unordinary.
He's beyond nationality.
Honestly, exactly. For me, he's kind of a blend. Like, he's not strictly Indian.
He's a little Mexican. He's a little Argentinian.
No, to me, he's just beyond nationality. Like, I don't think of him as Indian.
Okay, you ready for the Hollywood one?
Yes, I'm ready.
Okay, so the first one is Henry Cavill.
Is that the Superman guy?
Yeah, Superman.
Okay,
I can see that. Okay,
the second one I'm not sure about, but Tom Hiddleston.
I don't know who that is.
That's Loki. Oh, you
the
would
reason
not know.
I think Hayden Christensen or this. Christian Hayden would be perfect is no, listen, Christian also has a boyish, youthful charm to him. He's not like a man.
That's true.
You know?
And the third one is Dev Patel.
I don't know who Dev Patel is.
Dev Patel was from Slumdog Millionaire.
What?
Yeah.
Sorry.
No.
What a genuine reaction.
Dev Patel recently came out with this movie called The Monkey Man, which is based off of Lord Hanuman, actually.
Oh, wow.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Who is a big devotee of Lord Krishna.
Shout out to Dev Patel. Yeah. If you want to fund some person there to do the VR set, you can.
Yeah. No, honestly.
Okay.
Dev Patel. Okay. But you have to see him in Monkey Man because he's like grown up a lot from Slumdog Millionaire. And he literally does this entire movie dedicated to like his devotedness to Lord Hanuman.
Super cool. Now let's get back to the text.
All right.
Bottom line, we can't picture how beautifully attractive Krishna is. Yeah, there's no one like him.
Hard to choose. Yeah,
where did it say he's beyond nationality? Said that, right? Somewhere.
Nobody said beyond nationality. We made that up.
It sounded like it would have been a text.
But Krishna is beyond nationality.
I feel like that's even such a limiting term.
Yeah, it's like, because nationality is associated with a body and we are not this body.
Krishna's eternal, comes down to play a role.
Hi-yo.
Totally. Okay. Yeah. Where are we?
All right.
Text 19.
Yes. I think Shama Sangeeta.
Oh.
Text 19?
I think it's Shama Sangeeta.
No? Okay. All right.
Oh, yeah.
Arjuna said, "You are without origin, middle, or end. Your glory is unlimited." Okay. You have numberless arms, and the sun and moon are your eyes. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe by your own radiance. Mm. I feel like the hundreds of thousands of suns have gotten out of my hand. Okay. And he is literally burning the entire universe radiance.
It's from his mouth. He's saying that the fire that is.
Oh, wow. It's coming from his mouth. And that is getting out of hand.
Yeah.
And it is burning down the universe.
Yeah.
And I haven't thought of the sun and moon as his eyes. That's new.
I know.
I like that, actually.
I like that. That's tricky. That's cool. That's interesting.
I think some people might. Oh, sorry. Some people might see this verse and be like, okay, we've already heard Arjuna, Krishna multiple times say that they're, you know, he's the origin, he's the middle, he's the end. Like that's the repetition. And so Prabhupada says it is said that at a time of bewilderment or wonder or great ecstasy, statements are repeated over and over. That is not a flaw.
Right.
So we might be like, oh my gosh, why are they saying the same thing? But like, imagine you're in awe.
Yeah. You're like constantly just going, Wow.
Shamali, she's waiting until you join.
I was waiting until Shamali joined.
I got you.
Yeah, so I think we've heard this, right? We've heard you are without origin, middle, or end. Your glory is unlimited. We've seen that before. Numberless arms, that's been mentioned before. Right. The sun and moon in your eyes, that's a new one.
That's a new one.
Right? So remember, whenever you see the sun and the moon, remember that they are Krishna's eyes.
And then remember when you're drawing the universal form that you're going to send us on Instagram, that's something to think about.
I just love it. They're like Prabhupada says, we've talked about the six opulences of the Supreme. So he says there's just no limit to the extent of the six opulences of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And that's why I love what you read, Priya. He anticipates our thought like, okay, we've read this a million times. But yeah, he says there's, according to scripture, there's going to be repetition of the glories of Krishna. It's not a literary weakness.
Yeah. This is the most terrifying part though. I see you with blazing fire coming forth from your mouth, burning this entire universe.
Where is that?
By your own radiance. It is literally the verse.
No.
There is one with fire coming out and it's really scary. So I can only imagine Arjuna seeing this and him being terrified.
Oh, for sure.
Whoa, you know what? Now understanding more about Sanjaya, if you look at plate one, Dhritarashtra inquires from Sanjaya about the events of the battlefield. And you picture with such love and devotion, Sanjaya touching his heart and the images are revealed. So he's been given like this divine spiritual vision to see that thanks to Vyasa Dev. And it's like a vision that he's tapping into. It's so transcendental. Yeah.
Guys, this is so beautiful. Just to like see like Arjuna seeing this, recalling this in real time and like us talking about it like step by step, sentence by sentence, because it is like awe-inspiring, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And even if it is repeated, I still feel the same effect, right? Yeah. Like it's like, oh wow, this is happening. This is happening. You know?
Oh wow.
Yeah. And we're repeating the wow.
Where's the vision of fire coming out of his mouth?
There is one in plate 11. If you look at the picture, there is one of them with fire coming out of the mouth.
That's bottom left. These are all Krishna.
I mean, they're all really Krishna, to be honest.
Wow, they look scary.
I can't wait to hear more. It's going to be so exciting.
I'm so excited.
Okay. On the edge of my seat.
So join us next time. We will be on chapter 11, text number 20.
Wow.
See you next time.
Bye.
Bye. 'Beautiful souls, if you like what you're hearing, please follow us on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast.
And if you love what you're hearing, please make sure to share a link to our podcast at Modern Yogi Podcast with all your friends, families, and long-lost cousins.
And if you have any questions at all, send us a DM on Instagram at Modern Yogi Podcast, and we'll be sure to get back to you.
Thank you for listening to
The Modern Yogi.